Welcome, beautiful you, to Girl on Her Moon, the podcast. My name is Jordan, and I invite you to join us as we connect, share our experience, and become one for a moment. From topics like self-worth, creativity, expression, intuition, and soul, to astrology, numerology, tarot, energetics, and more. And then the topics that are undefinable and ungraspable. Exploring what it means to be alive, to be rooted in both our divinity and humanness, and returning to the space where they are one. Thank you for being on this journey with us.
Hello, Issa. Welcome back.
Hello, Jordan. I'm so thrilled to be talking about the whole 2023 outlook with you today.
I'm really excited for this episode because 2023, as we'll explore, is such a different year than what we've been experiencing over the last few years.
Oh my gosh, isn't it though? Like, if anybody has been sitting there and wondering, because I think astrologers get two questions the most. When is something coming? And when is this over? So for those of you who are wondering when the themes of recent years are over, I will happily tell you that, in a sense, some of them are coming to a close this year. You know, they're not going to be gone ultimately, but the focus of them, the intensity of them, the persistence, like all of that, things are going to finally be shifting. It's a little bit more of like mutable energy this year where we're really starting to end some major themes and also birth into some new ones. So we're finally getting a new energy imprint overall. So I think most of us can kind of be in delight over some change.
So do you think it would make more sense to start in a review of the cycles that are coming to an end, or do you want to jump into 2023 first?
Well, I guess I would say, you know, from like kind of a review standpoint, we have a lot of huge outer planet cycles that are part of much bigger themes. Like, and this has been going on for more time than just last year, but, you know, we've got a 26,000 year cycle that's coming to a close. We have a 500 year cycle that's coming to a close. You know, there's the great conjunction of 2020 that we had so much focus on over the last couple of years that set the tone to COVID, that set the fear. You know, we switched into air signs. We started fearing the air. We started feeling air travel, breathing, you know, all of these sort of kind of keyword fear points that we've been in for the last 2-3 years are really starting to close that story. So whatever you kind of were feeling emerging around 2020 and the opening of that year, know that, you know, while not completely over, there's a shift in focus and is not going to be what we've been experiencing. So there's a lot to look forward to in that way. And the first half of our year is going to be a lot more of that closing energy. And well, I'd say the first quarter, if I'm more precise. And then come around the equinox, around Aries season, we're going to kind of lift off into something that feels fresh again. And that is going to be the beginning of a new 2.5-3 year story that comes into 2026. 2026 is really like the biggest year of this decade. And so these new energies are starting to rise in for the next part of the story to come through. And so we're building something different than what has been. So I know I personally feel relieved by, you know, shifting pace. Yeah.
And if you could even just come up with a few words or feelings around the new themes that are emerging into 2026, what comes to mind?
So I'd say some key words are key phrases might be a little easier, that adaptability is going to be the focus. Sure, resilience is a word we've thought of and talked about quite a bit this last year, but rather than the new normal being about stability, the only thing that will allow you to experience some kind of security is adaptability. So there's a movement energy kind of in this future. I'd also say that there's going to be a deepening of understanding resources. So resources are going to be a big conversation on the table, and understanding what are my resources. Money is not the only resource, people. Like, we have lots of resources that need to be addressed, how they are used and utilized, and whether we are bringing consciousness to our resources and technology. You know, astrology is a technology. You know, everything is a technology. But even astrology can take us off detour. There's not a inherent goodness or badness to any technology per se. And so this conversation around right use, around resources and technology, and how we are able to utilize those technologies at the right time, in the right circumstance, in the right way, for greatest good, for the collective, for ourselves, that's going to be on the table. And faith is a really big one. And not just faith from some kind of religious standpoint, but real expanding of what faith means as well. Faith, trust, hope, like those words are going to be really in the vernacular. And an evolution of what faith looks like and acts like and feels like. So that's going to be on the table. And then I'd say also that intensity and evolution are friends, and that there is this relationship, a deepening of understanding of the relationship between intensity and evolution, and understanding the place that intensity has in our evolutionary process, and being able to work with intensity. I do think the octaves are going to come down a little bit from before our recent years, but people, like I said, we're at the end of gigantic cycles, not small things, as well as smaller cycles, like 2.5 year cycles, 12 year cycles, 20 year cycles. Like, you know, these are, we've got a lot of that ending and beginning space kind of happening, a lot of things going into the Pisces Aries zone, which are new cycles coming through. So, really being able to understand how to work with intensity for our own process and the process of change, the change that we desire to see in this world, where intensity is required for that persistence and breakthrough to occur. So that kind of goes a little bit of hand in hand with adaptability, but you know, that's kind of an arcing story. And then I'd say the other major thing that's really on the table is like a love revolution, a family revolution, a relationship revolution. This is going to be a year that changes our relationship to relationship. So, you know, and that's going to continue on. And all of those themes are kind of setting the tone for really more like the next 2-3 year period, because 2025 and 2026, a lot of that stuff is going to be having another shift. So, yeah, I feel like that's kind of the flavor that we can anticipate to be working with this year through quite a few different transits that are, you know, layered together, and how we'll experience them in different areas of our lives, depending on our charts personally.
Oh, I love that. I love that those, all the points you said work together so well as well. And I was just curious with the first point of adaptability, is that something that we're going to be really supported to be able to cultivate within ourselves?
Well, when you say support, I would say, you know, pressure, continuous pressure, absolutely supports our openness to becoming adaptable if that's not our inherent condition or tendency, you know, if that's not how we normally work, like our beautiful Taurians of the world, you know. But ultimately, for Taurus to change and other fixed signs, this is a big year for fixed signs. Fixed signs being Taurus as our fixed earth, our fixed air is Aquarius, our fixed water is Scorpio, our fixed fire is Leo. So that fixed cross is really getting activated this year. And, you know, when we're in fixed signs, when we have that as our mode of operation, it's the people in the world who are here to persist, you know, and to care for, you know, when we have the cardinal people, they're initiating our ideas. They're bringing something forward to be inspired to start on. And then it has to get handed off to our fixed people who take that beautiful inspiration, that beautiful spark of light, and they tend to it and they care for it day in and day out. And they continue the... And they have so much delight in the repetition of the process. You know, they're the process-oriented people that understand the value in showing up day in and day out. So, you know, there's so much beauty to our fixed people. Nothing would get done in the world without these people. You know, they are the forgotten people so often. You know, those are the people who are actually building the foundations of our structure in our society that are overlooked all the time. You know, those are the kind of grueling jobs that are overlooked. But for the people who those are their gifts and that's what they love, we need you so bad. And that fixed energy is there to allow things to actually manifest. You know, we need that steadiness in order to get things out of the air, out of our head, and into the earth. So this is a big year for fixed energy, and Jupiter will be going into Taurus. So get ready to plow the fields and start manifesting those dreams.
And so would you have any wisdom or insight for those people who do have a lot of fixed energy in their chart when the invitation of this year is quite a bit more mutable and adaptable, if that feels I have next to no fixed energy in my chart, just to put that out there, just to preface this with. But I would imagine they would feel a sense of like unsafety in the invitations of adaptability. Is that, how does that land?
You know, it's kind of, I think when we talk about the year as a whole, that it's a little bit difficult to place all of it because like the beginning of the year has such an Aries flair. Jupiter is in Aries. Mm. There's a lot of momentum forward. And then when we get to May and Jupiter goes into Taurus, the eclipses happen. We've got some big shifts that come at that point. And for the cardinal people, that Aries kind of energy, they're going to struggle very much so once we have that shift. Because what felt exciting and inspirational and creative is coming mm-hmm. out of that beautiful fire and it's getting grounded. You know, the process from yeah. Aries to Taurus, you know, Aries is just that spark of inspiration. That's really what it offers. And then it lands in the earth to begin the actual manifestation process to come to life. So when it lands into that fixed earth, it can feel like the brakes get put on and like we just stalled. And I think mm-hmm. for so many people that I work with, all of my different astrology clients, and certainly for myself as an Aries, you know, I can get so excited about so many things. And what feels like the biggest bummer is the process that it actually takes to manifest those ideas on the earth plane. Mm-hmm. You know, the fastest way to manifest is through the ethers. The slowest way to manifest is through the earth. And one isn't better than the other. They give us an understanding of the full process. So I think for the cardinal people, they're going to feel really humbled once they get to that place. But once the baton gets passed over into the fixed energy, because we also have Venus in Leo this summer, and which is our fixed mm-hmm. fire. So, you know, summertime, we start moving into this fixed energy. And I think for the fixed people at that point in time, they're actually going to feel like there's so much purpose for them, so much meaning. Mm-hmm. They're going to know how to do that dance. And, you know, we haven't talked about the mutable people at all yet. And for mutable people, you know, they're changing. They're flow. They're, you know, they're always sort of in this change space. They understand adaptability better than anybody else. So they can really be our teachers as we go through that process, because once the cardinal people go into that fixed energy and they're actually growing from seed, to use a Taurus analogy, you know, like, I don't know if anybody's actually grown anything from seed. I personally haven't. I'll admit it. I am by no means a horticulturalist, a farmer, or anything else, but I admire them a lot. And I happen to live around a lot of them, so I'm learning a lot from them. And I'm always amazed when they can take that seed and actually get it to sprout and turn it into a plant that fruits and that I'm eating right now. You know, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. But I hope for the people like myself who struggle with the full cycle of manifestation, that we can become allies with our fixed and our mutable people so that we can understand mm-hmm. the pure value that comes from taking that seed, tending the earth, plowing the fields, yeah. then planting the seed, allowing it to root down, get really anchored in there, so that it can then turn up and be stable in the ground and grow into something big and bright and beautiful over many years, because the satisfaction that comes when our ideas actually do earth and manifest and turn into more than we could have ever dreamed of when they were just in the easy dream state, that is yeah. where we can find so much satisfaction. You know, self-made people have a certain kind of satisfaction in their life that people who, you know, were born into money or whatever, like they don't have, they didn't earn that. They didn't go through that full process of developing and ultimately taking an element of non-physical self, my idea, and turning it into something that is physical. It's the metaphysical. We talk about the metaphysical all the time, right? Meta means that it's in the ethers, right? It's in this other space. And to turn meta into physical, that process is wild. It's so magical. Like all of the illumination and beauty of the universe lives inside of that process. So we're really getting the opportunity to go through that full cycle consciously, really to be aware that that's what we're doing. So as we come into summer energy and it might feel like we're slowing down, pace yourself and remind yourself that this is what manifestation means. And you might meet a lot of obstacles in your way. And that's where our mutable friends can teach us how to bob and to weave and to contort and to transform so that those obstacles become our greatest gifts and new structures that can support an even more beautiful idea to manifest than it would have been without them. You know, if you've ever made anything, if you're an artist of any form, even if that's like baking a cake, you know, it's like when you go into the artistic process, there will always be things that you try that don't work and where they can be what feel like a catastrophe when you're making something. And then it's like, wow, well, that just fell down. Okay, what do I do now? Oh, I hadn't thought of this. And your ingenuity gets to come in. And then you're like, oh, what if I did that? And oh, I can patch that up over here and I can add a little bit of this. And then at the very end, you're like, wow, that was the best part of that whole thing. I would have never done that had the wall not fallen down. But now that it did, it's my favorite part of the whole thing. You know, so it's about being this active co-creator in the process. And if you can keep remembering everything happens for me, not to me, that's a really good motto for this year so that you can creatively co-create with the universe into a new magic story for yourself that you're going to have many, many, many years to enjoy.
So before we were here in this episode, we were talking about 2023 really feeling like it begins March, April, into May a little bit. Can you speak onto that?
Yeah. So kind of the way that the energy is going to progress this year, we have sort of the first 5 months of the year until we get to Taurus land. And we're going to be in a very sort of active energy that's going to keep building in its activity. Like March will be the next turning point of an energy shift and things continuing to activate. And it might feel a little bit scattered, the energy during that time, and even a little aggressive too. Like there's just the heat of that sort of fire leading us through. And, you know, ultimately, the time that we've been working through, you know, the last, or I guess to step back for a second and to say, you know, the last two, three years, collectively, we've been having an awakening. We've been coming to have a pause long enough that we get to reconsider. It's like a giant retrograde phase, really, where we get to reconsider and rethink what our values are. what brings meaning to our life? Mm. What am I willing to do and not willing to do? Who am I going to allow to share space with me? Who am I not? You know, and so there's sort of a shifting of alliances based on a shifting in values. And we still have Taurus North Node leading our way for the first half of the year as well, which is all about our values and building our own self-reliance to align with those values. And so as we are going through that awakening process, though, we kind of land into this year realizing that as I keep waking up, which is an ongoing process, it doesn't happen once. We wake up over and over and over again, as is reflected in our daily wake-up cycle. And where we go back to sleep again, and then we wake up again. You know, it's like we keep going through these ebbs and flows of waking up. And as we do that, and we go to different layers, different levels of awakening, we get to be more and more of an outsider, outside of the norm, outside of the consensus, outside of what society says I should do, and outside of what I'm supposed to think. And, you know, what is valuable to me may not be valued by society, or at least not the society I currently know. And so there's this shift in our personal power and authority that's having to change at the beginning of the year, where we have to get more comfortable being on the outside, being on the outskirts. You know, as we look at the zodiac wheel and we get to Aquarius, where Pluto currently is, and we're in the final degrees of that through the beginning of March, we start getting more onto the outskirts of society. And then by the time we get to Pisces, which Saturn moves into Pisces in March as well, we are completely on the fringes of society. Pisces is our last sign. And at that point in time, we are now completely living on the outside of society. We are in the fringes of space, looking at the collective. And, you know, it's like we're leaving the earth plane more and more when we get to those spaces. So, you know, we have to allow ourselves to get really comfortable with being an outsider, and that realignment with who our people are and where we spend our time, so that we meet those other fellow outsiders who are at our space of fringe living, you know? And so as we are able to join forces with those people and come into acceptance of these changes that are happening within ourselves and within our own life, then we can start to make space for what starts to come as summertime happens, and start reassessing the way that we're structurally creating life. And the eclipses that come in April are really going to offer a turning point for us. And we're going to really start feeling that shift of energy coming in at that point in time, personally and collectively, that's going to change the table that we're seated at. You know, as the rest of the year kind of rolls on, we'll be shifting our focus into deepening those human connections with our people, with the people that we're finding to come and support us, to care for us, to care with us too about what we care about, you know. And, you know, part of what we're building towards in 2026 is coming into a more Aquarian community-based society, which is more of a level playing field, which is hopefully, if we're in the higher octaves, a more conscious kind of community environment to ourselves, is also to our relationship with the cosmos and each other, where, you know, we're more of a round table instead of someone looking down at us and telling us what to do. So there's this sort of shifting of power that's happening. And as Saturn comes into Pisces, we're going to really be dissolving a lot of structures that we knew and who held the power and why they had it and what they did with it. And, you know, in 2.5 more years in 2026, when Jupiter comes into Aries, then, or I'm sorry, Saturn comes into Aries, then we start a brand new cycle with Saturn, which let me do the math on real quick here. But the Saturn cycle is about 28, 29 years times 12. So, you know, that's around a 336-year cycle that will be beginning in 3 more years. So it's like when I'm talking about us ending really big cycles, you know, Pluto's coming into Aquarius. It'll be there for about 22 years. After that, it'll be in Pisces for about 30. And then when Pluto goes into Aries, we'll be in a brand new cycle that's, I have to look and see what that actual whole cycle is because it's ecliptic. It's not even in every sign, but, you know, several hundred years will be starting again in about 50 years, which a lot of us will still be around for. So, you know, we're really at such pivotal change points. And I hope that that can give people a certain degree of context to understand why there's as much intensity in this moment in time that we've chosen to incarnate in, because we're truly coming into something that none of us have ever seen before on this planet. And the awareness of what that even is, or being able to explain that, I and probably nobody else on this planet has the contemplation or words to even express. The words don't even exist yet. You know, how many new words have have come in the last 20 years that didn't exist before? You know, so there's just going to be a lot more of that. And we don't even, you know, all we know is that we don't know.
And so I guess that's why that that mutable energy or that adaptable energy will really be our friends if we can lean into it, because we are going through like beyond our lifetime transitions. Like we are standing on that threshold probably for like our entire lives.
100%. Yes. So it's like the more that you can lean into that instead of resisting it, you know, pain comes through resistance. And a certain amount of resistance is not a bad thing. But if you're wanting things to get easier, if you're wanting more flow, if you're wanting more joy, it's about coming into, getting out of like a goal-oriented perspective and getting process-oriented and really being able to give ourselves that continual creative dance that is adaptability as a foundational element of the structures that we are building for our future, because there are so many unknowns that we need to have that kind of flexibility in our joints so that we don't crack, you know? So it's like, if you think of like biomimicry and all of that, like think about those different sort of fluid structures that have the ability to move and sway as the wind rises, as the temperature shifts, you know, all of these kinds of ways that that particular animal or that particular plant is able to navigate whatever changes in the environment occur. It's cool. They just transform and mutate into something else that meets that now. So it's a constant meeting of your edge and then adapting from there. And that's really where that trust and faith piece comes in that Saturn in Pisces is going to be working with us on, because it's not just about faith in something outside of you. It's about faith in yourself to be able to meet whatever comes to you. faith that you can change enough and that maybe change is easy. Maybe letting go is enjoyable. Like, what about that? You know, like, it can be juicy and delicious. Like, we have so much fear wrapped around these unknown spaces. But the more that you get to dance in the dark, the more you realize you can navigate the dark. And then the dark is no longer a problem. And so there's this rising within culture and in society to learn how to dance in the dark, which when we are sitting here and saying the future is feminine, you guys, that's what we mean. That's what that means. Mm. The dark is the feminine. We have to learn how to embrace her, because that moon, that south node of the moon, that black moon Lilith, all of these shadow spaces within us are going to take you to places that the light can't touch. And that's where your satisfaction lives. That's where your purpose lives. That's where your connectivity lives. All the things that you've been missing, you got to go into the dark to get them. When we don't want bad things, when we don't want to hurt, and so we shut all of that down to keep that away, we simultaneously shut out the things that we want, the joy. You know, how many people feel disconnected? How many people have no idea what their purpose is? How many people feel lost as hell and lonely as hell? You got to go into the dark to transform that. And that's one of the relationships that we have to evolve this year. You know, as the nodes switch into Libra and Aries, North Node and Aries, we're coming into that relationship axis. And when that happens, it's going to square Pluto as well. So, well, really, Pluto squares the nodes. And so it's like, or no, I'm sorry, it's the faster moving planet first. The nodes square Pluto. My apologies. So, you know, that is deep transformation that is occurring at a collective soul level of evolution, that we're really being asked. That's where some intensity is for sure. When we've got squares to the nodes and Pluto, like, and especially in combo together, like, yes, evolution is required. And yes, you will feel your edges and your thresholds and your vulnerability. And the more that you can realize that stepping into that vulnerability is an equation to touching into your strength, into your power, the more you can come into reworking that relationship and revolutionize the way in which you interact with life, you know? Mm.
So we're going to be exploring, or you're going to be exploring, the transits in our 2023 astrology masterclass inside of the membership on the 7th of January. But did you want to touch on any of the bigger ones just briefly?
Yeah. So I'll kind of just go through the main biggies. And just kind of look at the beginning of our year a little bit. The Mars retrograde energy is a really important one that's starting off our year. And, you know, the beginning of the year really is more in a pause. It's more like when the baby is crowning, you don't push, you know? That's where we are. So yes, we're breaking through to the other side. There is a realization of the new life that's coming. But if you push right now, you're going to kill it, you know, even though that feels counterintuitive. So you've got to just be in that faith and in that trust in yourself that you will know the moment that it's time to push and that your body will help inform you of that timing. So there's some really strong energy that's around building a more solid internal structure that is solidified and crystallized through our values. So if you're feeling really unsure about what to do or what way to go or what matters, use this pause energy at the beginning of the year to really align yourself with what your values are now, not what former versions of yourselves' values were, but really now. Because particularly within our patterning and conditioning, and this was a huge one for me when I started realizing it, and as I continue to realize it again and again, that no matter what age I am, no matter, you know, how deep into the decades I continue to age and grow, that there are parts of me that are actually dictated by a child inside of me. Like, oh, that idea or that belief came when I was 12. I would never ask a 12-year-old, including my former 12-year-old self, what I should do or how to behave in this interaction. However, it's subconsciously ruling how I am interacting right now. And so that's part of that reassessment that needs to happen at the beginning of the year where we can say, oh, my structures, my internal structures are built from younger selves that are no longer valid and whose values I no longer value. So I need to allow that version of me and that belief system to process and eliminate and to rework and rebuild a new structure that's actually based in the now. And so that's kind of the upgrade that's going to be asked of us so that we have the ability to become, I mean, that's part of our adaptability and the allowance of ourself to keep letting go. And if we have relationships that will not allow that change to occur, then we have to be willing to let go of those relationships as well, so that we can align with people who do support our current values and allow our thriving to actually manifest. You know, it's like you can't sustain something that's not yours. You know, if you're sitting here and kind of wondering about, you know, this isn't working, it's not making sense for me, I can't seem to get the energy to make this occur and really build it out, to have that longevity of persistence, then there's a value question that needs to come up that you need to walk yourself through or to partner with an astrologer or a tarot reader or a therapist or whoever you work with for your growth. And start coming into what your values are. And even if you don't know what it looks like, that's part of that co-creative process with the universe. So being able to say like, well, I know that I value my freedom. And freedom for me means that I have flexibility in my day and that no 2 days are the same and that I want to serve my community of other dancers or of other movers to have space to be in their bodies more often. And, you know, figure out those little elements that you value that also are your gifts where you are valuable. And then you can start putting together a structure of people who get that and also value that with you and support that part of you to come out and to be worked and to thrive. on that. And then you can start building a different kind of structure in your life with a different group of people who are aligned in your values that will help percolate that and help it come out eventually over time. You know, so it's like, we've got to get real, you know. It's like, as I was saying before, it's like, as you wake up, you realize that you are different. And the most important Aquarian archetype is understanding that that difference is where your power lives. That unique gift is why you came here. So don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to separate from the group. There are other groups out there besides that one that you currently know, and they will think it's fabulous, and they will help that blossom within you. So don't be afraid of that change. That change is where joy lives. And if you could just keep reminding yourself that each step into that pathway is how I become more satisfied, how I feel more creative, how I feel more powerful, how I live in my joy, then the change doesn't feel quite as scary. You know, we can kind of support that inner child who's scared through standing in our inner mother and our inner father and saying, oh no, it's okay. You can hold my hand on my way there. We got this. We're going to go play with some new friends. They're fun. Let's go. You know, like, we can invite ourselves into that change and remind us how much happiness is there. And then once we kind of scoot into, let's see. So then coming back into March, one of the real big months this year, March and April are really where you're gonna, I think all of us are gonna feel blown away. I can't wait to see what's around that corner. But something very exciting is lying there for sure. And, you know, the Aries light that's entering our year while Jupiter is back in Aries, you know, this story started in 2022 when Jupiter went into Aries, and it went retrograde and came back in on December 20th. So it will be there until May 15th, and then it'll shift into Taurus. So from now until mid-May, we have a lot of that energy. And then, as I was saying before, when it goes to land into Taurus, it can feel like a slowdown. But just keep reminding yourself that so much of what is seeding this year has to do with your legacy. What does legacy mean to you? Even if you're 19 years old, what does legacy mean to you? You know, and this is a time for you to begin planting those seeds and finding those people and places where there is a home for them to be nourished and nurtured into their thriving over time. So this is a time to really tap into your soul guidance, really tap into all of your different practices. If you're in the membership, Jordan creates a beautiful workbook guide for every month to utilize the energies in the wisest way. So, like, keep coming back to those practices that are going to help you navigate each phase of this year so that you can start getting those roots down into the earth, into building and growing your legacy on this planet. I think legacy is another big keyword for the year. And let's see if there's anything else from there that I want to gently touch on here. You know, I mean, all of that Jupiter in Taurus, people are going to want to talk about some money. You know, that's some money time. And June 1st, Jupiter is going to come in conjunction with the North Node in Taurus. So we're going to have this double whammy of major future destiny energy that, especially if you're aligned in your values, could manifest some money for you. But I want to also invite you to think about, when we're talking about sustenance, when we're talking about abundance, that, you know, it's not always tangible. Even though Taurus is about some tangible resources, for sure, I don't want you to stay so limited as to see your resources only from a place of money. Our resources are that adaptability, are our ingenuity, are our community, and being able to have that collective support and collective mind to help us through things, our ability to create community. You know, there's so many ways that we overlook our abundance in our life, but that's going to be a moment where it really kind of comes to head. And we get to really see what it is that we also need to do, and maybe some skills that need to be learned to allow that to actually come down and manifest in our lives. I think that that's kind of the main thing I want to touch on here when it comes to Taurus. Did you have any thoughts or questions on that particular transit?
No, I think you covered that beautifully. Did you want to touch on, I know you're quite excited about Pluto's movement.
Yeah.
Did you want to go into that a little bit?
So Pluto in Aquarius, we're just getting a small taster this year of it. So it's a real hot moment, but from March 23rd to June 10th, we will have Pluto in Aquarius. And again, like I said, this is over a 20-year cycle. When we're talking about Pluto, I've come to think of it more as a phase and a background kind of energy, because I think when we sit there and we think about like 22 years, like, what does that even mean? Some of us aren't even 22 years old yet. Like, you know, so it's like, I don't even know how to conceptualize having to deal with something that long. But I want to hopefully invite you to shift the perspective on dealing with Pluto, which often people kind of think, because this is part of that shadow too, you know. Pluto rules the underworld. And when we're talking about the underworld of Aquarius, we have to excavate those parts of us that are in the hive mind, where we don't have our own thoughts and where we don't think for ourselves, and we're just part of a greater machine, like tuning out and just going through the motions, because that's there too with Pluto in Aquarius. We become more robotic. There's kind of, you know, over the last couple of years, I've heard over and over again this invitation into how do we stay more human, which may or may not have made sense to people when they started hearing that. But I think the more that we have technology in our lives in a very integrated way, to the point that we don't even notice that it's in our life, the more we have the opportunity to get lost in the shadow of Aquarius and become an android of some sort. And so, you know, this shift into Pluto and Aquarius is going to be the beginning of opening this new story. So we'll just have springtime to kind of feel it. Then it's going to go retrograde back into Capricorn for the rest of the year. And at the end of January of 2024, it'll start coming back in almost completely permanently for the next 20 some odd years. So we are going to really be looking at how to, you know, bring, I like that the high side, the higher octave of Pluto and Aquarius is bringing power to the people. So part of that sort of flattening of hierarchy and putting us into that round table experience is about empowering people. And, you know, that's how you destabilize those structures. That's part of what that awakening process is getting back into your own inner authority and your own inner power. You have to remember, Saturn doesn't just rule Capricorn, it rules Aquarius as well. So we're still going to be talking about power. We're still going to be talking about authority, but from a slightly different angle and a more future-oriented angle. And also, I think not just future, you know, it's like because of our time-space linear reality, we see time in this line where there's a future versus the past. But there's a continuum here that also has to be addressed. And I love what Cameron Allen, another evolutionary astrologer, was talking about when it comes to AI. Because when we think of AI, obviously we think artificial intelligence, and it's like in some sort of like spacey kind of thing. But he was saying he's been tapping into ancestral intelligence. And being able to realize that these indigenous technologies of his ancestors live within him right now. And the only thing that he has to do is to pause enough to tap into and activate his own energetic frequencies, his own EMFs. You know, we have EMFs. The electromagnetic field is called the heart. Our heart palpates. And as it does so, it creates an electromagnetic field for every single person. And you can awaken your own EMF, your own Wi-Fi, to tune in and connect with your ancestors, with your future selves, with your future children, with the full continuum of your ancestry and lineage. And so I think that that's a really exciting part of what's possible with Pluto and Aquarius, is really thinking about those technologies. I'm a Kundalini yoga teacher as well, and we talk about this particular topic all the time. That's how I first learned about it, actually. And being able to clear your field, which you can do through breath work and different meditative practices, and understanding yoga as a technology. A technology to activate your frequency and to deactivate certain parts of your frequency too, you know? So it's about understanding how to tap into and turn on and off as needed. And so I think there's going to be this really incredible AI that is going on. And there's so much more that I'm excited to dive into on that. There's all of these squares to Pluto and things that are going to be happening that are going to really activate some of that relationship work that I was mentioning at the beginning. But we'll be diving much more deeply into that in our masterclass. So I'll keep that for our folks. And then I think the other two things that I wanted to make sure to bring up is Saturn in Pisces and the node switching into Aries and Libra. So I'll just quickly talk about Saturn in Pisces a little bit. That's going to happen on March 7th until the end of May of 2025. So that's a 2.5 year period. And I keep feeling into, you know, Saturn is our builder and Pisces is the dream. And I think, you know, Saturn in Pisces is considered weak. You know, this is not where our structural engineer wants to be in the space of dissolving. You know, it's like everything, you can feel Saturn in Pisces, like everything I tried to build is on quicksand and I can't build anything that goes up. But I also feel that there is this possibility inside of that as well, where you can build your dreams, where there's a dissolution of the boundary between what is a dream and what is real, and being able to close that gap and to bridge it and to find your power and your ability to really manifest things that you thought were not possible before. And so I think that there's going to be a very strong shift from the material into the spiritual world, and understanding how to work with building in the energetic field as part of that process.
Yeah.
And also there has to be a dissolving of the parts of ourself that have a more material focus on how we build and how we operate in the world, so that there is space for the new dream to actually be built in 3 years when Saturn goes into Aries. So there's going to be a real clarifying period of understanding what the dream is now, what it is that I want to build, what actually is worth the level of effort that it takes to do that. You know, like Liz Gilbert says, there's a shit sandwich that comes with everything. So what's worth eating it? You know, and that's just life for you, right? It's like we have to really figure out, okay, if I've got to do that, what is worth it? What is going to make me get up when I'm spent and know that this is actually worth my discomfort and my energy and my sacrifice to build? There's, you know, the last time that Saturn was in Pisces was in 1993 to 1996. So if you were born during that time period, you will be having your first Saturn return as well in this 2.5 year window. So, and if you're older than that, then you might remember what was going on at that time and you can start connecting some dots because there's a story in there. And this is a lot of where that faith conversation really comes in. I think we're really being educated by spirit during this time to learn how to navigate the dream space, to learn how to work with the unseen. How can we be allies with the unknown so they can help us build and manifest in the physical? So I hope that this is a time period where we get to build deeper relationship with the unseen and the unknown and realize how real it is and possibly how much more real it is than our physical world. And so that faith and your trust in yourself to be able to follow the guidance that comes from that intuitive, that comes from the unexplainable, and to still be able to trust that flow, to master that intuition, and to build a new crystalline structure that is rooted in that trust, not in the kind of faith that it's like it justifies ultimately manipulative things. That's not the kind of faith I'm talking about here. you know. But that can also come up during this period too. So we need to really look at that, because especially at a political level, at a social level, I do think that there will be a lot of dissolution of structures and powers that be. We're going to start really seeing, even more than we already have, the ways that our authority figures are not living up to their ideals, to what they say that they're doing, that their authority and their power is going to be sinking, dissolving. And I feel like the underdog is really going to start rising. You know, Nelson Mandela, I think it was 3 Saturn in Pisces cycles ago, he was put into jail. And then the following Saturn in Pisces cycle is when he became president. And so it's like, that's the kind of thing that happens when Saturn's in Pisces. We, you know, there's a kind of victimization. There's a kind of, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm having to pay for what's wrong in my society. I'm having to sacrifice myself and pay the reparations for everybody. And there is also the flip of that, where we can have been that underdog for a long time, where people didn't have faith in us. Maybe we didn't have faith in ourselves either, but we just kept persisting with integrity. Mm-hmm. And through that process, we were able to, over time, show the truth of who we are, and it was finally seen by others. They couldn't see it before. There's a murkiness with Pisces, but when that veil is lifted, we transcend and we see what was always there, but we didn't have the right filter to understand before. So this is a really... I just can't even imagine what's going to come from this.
I appreciate all of that so much, especially as, like, I have Saturn in Pisces in my natal chart. Mm-hmm. And just the way that you put that all together, it was so affirming for me. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, a little side note, I was thinking, as we get closer to these trends, that perhaps we could do an episode dedicated to Saturn returns then, for those of us around 27 to 29 that will be beginning their Saturn return.
Oh, I would love that. I think that's a great idea. You know, the Saturn return is a big one. It's an initiation, truly. And particularly when it comes to Saturn in Pisces, because the Pisces Virgo axis is the initiation axis. So this is a very big coming of age moment for the group who was born in 93 to 96 that has this in their natal chart.
You said there was one other transit you wanted to look at. Was it the switches in the nodes?
Yes, yes. So this kind of brings us into our love story a little bit. Venus in Leo is part of this as well. But so, you know, when it comes to the nodes and we're following those cycles, they're year and a half cycles. And we've been in the Taurus North Node, Scorpio South Node since January of 2022. So for 1 year now, we've got 6 more months to go. In July, we're going to have the change of the nodes, and they'll be there until January of 2025. And, you know, to kind of frame it over time, you know, when the North Node was in Gemini, which was when George Floyd happened, and when these conversations around racism, around the way that people are shut out from opportunity, you know, really kind of needing to relearn and educate ourselves on our complex and multifaceted history instead of a singular narrative about history started rising up. Then, you know, while the North Node has been in Taurus, all anybody has really thought of at the collective level is really about money. Like the economy just started being the main talk of the town and like where growth was at and like what's going to happen. Are things going to collapse? You know, recessions and high inflation and all of that started really being on the name of the collective or on the tip of the tongue of the collective. And now, you know, come summer, we're going to shift over into Aries and Libra, which is the relationship axes. You know, when we think about relationships, most people think about Libra. Libra, just like every other sign, is not on its own. We have to look at its opposition, which is its access mate, if you will, and that's Aries. And so this whole spectrum is around relationship and really being able to have the highest level, the highest form of relationship is not codependence, which would be a lower octave of Libra, and not complete independence, which would be a lower octave of Aries, but of being able to be interdependent in our relationship. So how can I maintain my autonomy and my freedom while being in a relationship? How can I shift the way that I have my expectations of my partner and of myself so that that's even possible, you know? And especially for the Pluto and Libra generation, that really started thinking about them. I have a lot of Pluto and Libra clients. Right now, they're around 40 to 52. So you're Pluto and Libra if you were born around 1971 to 84. Now, if you're on the edges of that year, know that there's the retrograde period. So you may or may not actually be Pluto in Libra. You could be Scorpio. You could be Virgo. So double check that. But if you're in that zone, you know, once Pluto went through Libra, that entire generation is here to break down and regenerate what relationships look like, act like, behave like, feel like, and relationships will never be the same after this group of humans. And if you are one of those humans, then you know that your life, you were a latchkey kid, and then you became the helicopter parent maybe, and like you are learning about how much space is too much space and how much is too little. And you're learning about how to build a totally different kind of relationship paradigm than has ever been in modern history. And so, you know, you guys are setting that tone of change, and everybody who's younger than that are still in the exploration of what that means, because it's just destabilized at this point, but we don't really have an answer yet. So we're in this evolutionary question together. And regardless of your age, even if you're older than the Pluto and Libra generation, you're still affected by that. You know, the amount of, I believe it's called gray divorce. It's like when you're 60 and older and you get divorced then, has increased dramatically. So it's like, even, I think it's like the highest level of divorce, if I remember correctly from what I was recently like reading and listening to. So it's like, you know, even if you're older than that, you've still been affected by that regenerative force that Pluto comes with. And so while we have a year and a half of the nodes here with the Aries North Node, we're really going to be in this explorative phase of relearning relationship and rediscovering how we want to create that and what transmuting our family lineage patterns around relationship are and how that looks like, you know. So there's going to be some upgrades, hopefully, that happen in your life around relationship. And know that there's some tests that usually come with upgrades, you know. So this kind of idea around independence and codependence and the spectrum in between is going to be collectively explored. And there's going to be a new kind of flavor in the air around relationship. And so, you know, coming back to that value standpoint, as we would be leaving the Taurus North Node, hopefully you've taken that time to really take the discussion on value seriously and to come into a place of embodiment of those values. They're not something I think about. This is my daily lived actions and experience. And from living a life in honoring and alignment of your values, there's the opportunity to align in relationship and partnership that is value centric. And because you're aligned in your values, then you really have something sturdy, Taurus, to build from. So there's this kind of new opportunity really kind of presenting itself for love and relationship overall, all relationships, not just our romantic ones.
Was there anything else that we wanted to explore for the year ahead? I know we don't want to go too deep into things because we've got 2 hours of goodness to dive in deep into the masterclass, but was there anything else that you wanted to share here?
I think that's really what was on my heart to share now, and I hope gives a foundational understanding that will offer our listeners something to work with as the year goes forward, to use that beginning part of the year, now that you kind of understand about the arc that we're going to be developing through, to focus on. And, you know, and to kind of build as you're sort of doing your planning for 2023, like, what's the time for rest? What's the time for movement? And of course, everybody's chart is going to get activated differently. Yeah. So that's just know that the energy that I've talked about today is the general collective energy. And then we can always do a personal reading to walk through how what that means for you specifically and how to work with your year. But there's a certain amount of generality that is also valid for each and every one of us that I hope that you're able to gain through our discussion today.
Yeah, I think you did a beautiful job with that. Thank you. Did you want to just briefly, before we finish off today, I guess a more appropriate question is there anything that you wanted to share about the upcoming masterclass?
Yeah, so for the masterclass, Jordan had this beautiful idea that came from listening to our community and what they're ready for. You know, it's been almost 3 years now, or have you hit the 3-year anniversary now?
Yeah, actually, yeah. So the membership started on a Capricorn new moon, December of 2019.
Oh my God. So happy birthday. This is a very official. Yeah. I mean, this, we're recording on the Capricorn new moon right now. Hello. Yes. So, in honoring of that birth year, there is this evolution in the membership that we saw was ready for. And so this year we're going to be expanding into offering astrology classes that will help that up-leveling process. So every month we're going to have a different topic and we're going to take you on a journey. We're still building out the year. So if you are a member and you have things that you want to learn about, please email us, please write us and let us know so that we can keep, you know, in our own adaptability and ebbing and flowing with what is on the collective heart and pulse we are creating for you. So talk to us and let us know what is needing development in your own astrological journey so that you feel empowered. All of these classes are here to help you understand how to use your chart better, especially as a tool for self-development. So often, historically, we've always come to tarot or astrology or any of these different kinds of spiritual tools for crisis management. When I'm having a meltdown, when I had a breakup, when I lost my job, when I lost my housing, you know, when we're really freaking out, we come here. And that's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to invite you to realize that there is more available to you than just that. And when we work with our astrology and we start decoding and understanding the esoteric principles in life and how they're living in our life personally, we start to understand the world from a different lens that's more powerful, that's more beautiful, that gives us the tools that we didn't get in class or from our parents. Mm-hmm. And that way, we can start re-educating ourselves with a new philosophy. Talk about Saturn and Pisces. You know, we're building new structures within our own inner authority that are built around spiritual, universal, timeless principles that will help us navigate this year and every year forward. And so, you know, we're going to have a deep dive in January on the 7th to go even further into this year. And not only are we going to talk about it from a heady place, which astrology typically is very much in that Gemini, Aquarius place, just chitter-chatting about all of these concepts, which I could do all day, so no hate on that. But let's bring it down. Let's get feminine. Let's pull it into the body. Let's understand it somatically at an emotional level where we feel it, where we understand it, where the cosmos is outside of us and inside of us. And anytime I need to tap into some liberation, I can call on Uranus because I understand that they give me that lightning power to eliminate, process, and liberate myself into my future destiny. Mm. So that's the kind of work that we're going to be doing every month. We're going to have masterclasses to dive into your chart personally and to understand the greater collective themes that are happening societally so that you don't feel so lost and you understand how to work with your life and really become a co-creator in your own evolutionary process, because that's why your soul left you this map for your life, so that you didn't have to be lost. So you didn't have to be alone. So you just have to learn the language. And that's really, it's really that simple. There's no magic to it. We all have the ability to learn something new. This is a language. This is a philosophy. And when you live from that philosophy and you understand how to activate that in your life, I can say from my own 15-year journey in this process that life just gets sweeter and more magical and exciting and joyous and beautiful. So I invite you to come on this journey with us. I'm so, so, so thrilled to be teaching these classes and to be working with each of you and getting to know the community better. So yeah, thank you, Jordan, and for all of the people that brought this idea forward to me and asked for it to be manifested at this time. And yeah, we're going to have an incredible year diving into the archetypes and growing and learning at every level. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. That was so great. And thank you for being here today. We've recorded 2 podcast episodes today. It's been a few hours and I think we've done really well.
So much to say for this year. We'll keep tuning in and we look forward to continue exploring with you all as we keep uncovering these mysteries and working with them in our own lives and learning from each other. This is a round table here, you guys. There's no hierarchy. Like, I'm a student as much as I'm a teacher at all times. So come and bring your beautiful energy to the group and share all of your gifts with us as well, please.